Day from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Code Blue.
Now, you just take a man. He have been prosperous, making lots of money. Well, I mean, when his money's all gone, what else is left but the blues?
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, the sun is finally in Leo. Roar, I can feel it. I can feel the sun in Leo.
I love listening to you roar, Ms. Julia.
Roar. You're much better at it than me.
Well, thank you, darling, but I think you're pretty hot at it, Miss Lovely Julia Saunders.
Caroline McGillivray, I've missed you, darling.
I've missed you, too.
It's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks, but we're back. We're back in the saddle. We're back in the saddle in many ways. And tonight's show... it's all about being in the saddle in the summertime. Summer loving. Or
hence,
vacation loving.
Or
even...
vacation love.
Other kinds of loving. We're going to talk all about it tonight. But, you know, it seems to be quite the trend these days. That you were prepping men to pick up and be the best man they can be. And there seems to be a lot of other sort of attraction coaching companies around. And we've actually had a lot of dating coaches on the air lately.
So now that we figured you've got the hang of picking up, I mean, how do you take it to the next level in the condensed relationship format of the summer fling? Well, us Juicebox girls, we're here to tell you how to do that ethically and safely.
And do feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation. We don't get a lot of calls, and I'm wondering, well, we're probably not going to get any tonight because of fireworks.
But anyway, they'll drown us out.
The podcasts, you can just email us and let us know that you actually love us and contribute to the conversation we're having about summer loving tonight. And, you know, because sex is in the air.
And so is love.
People come out of hibernation, don't they? I mean, what's going on here? The social aspect of summer, I think, combined with that healthy dose of vitamin D that seems to put people in that a happier disposition.
And I think that's good for those people out there, all our listeners who haven't quite mastered the art of the pickup. It's a good time to hone your skills. People tend to be more approachable. Their body language is not quite so closed off, arms wrapped across the chest, hunched shoulders. you know, what looked like a no-go zone was actually someone just trying not to freeze.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty awful weather in the last little while.
Yeah, I think winter
is finally over.
It's hard to kind of, you're always looking down trying not to slip or like just get out of the rain. And so it's kind of hard to kind of just notice each other and notice that body language that's going on all the time. And of course, there's a lot of skin being revealed and a lot of people not wearing bras and women anyway.
Or naked if you're going to rack her all those.
Yeah, just lots of genitals waving around. Rec, you know, people seem to think that Rec has got, you know, the old saggy people, which of course it does, but and bless them all, I love them, but there's lots of super hot people down at Rec. It's a happening spot. Anyway, hopefully you have a beach like that somewhere in your town, wherever you are. If you don't, come on down to Vancouver, check it out for sure.
Because with all that heat, those pheromones are absolutely potent because we look hot.
Yeah, and
sweaty.
I think, you know, the summer loving thing between the beach parties that are going on, the barbecues, the packed patios all over the city. You know, I even have friends who own restaurants that don't have a patio, and they take two or three week vacations during the summer because without a patio, you don't have a hope. You go into these restaurants and it's like the patio is packed. And inside the restaurant, there's two people because they couldn't get on the patio. So, you know, summer in Vancouver, it's just the best. Anyway,
it's good.
There's a lot of people within your reach and a lot of exposed body parts. And I think that this is what's going on.
And we're not talking about missing feet that they're finding in the ocean. We're talking
about... Oh, my God.
We're talking about sexy things. And on that note, let's change it to a lighter topic.
Because
we are talking about sex and love, not about serial killers. And on that note, let's go on about, in case somebody hasn't heard how to pick people up, let's do our Juice Box Girls quick pick up refresher.
Honey, I loved what you wrote here and you're not even reading it. Okay, I'm going to say it for you. The heat fused with barely there clothed bodies kicks up the internal temperature. Wow. And with all that heat, the pheromones are potent as we look sweat sexy. This is something that Caroline wrote that I'm going to read for you. If you are not careful, it can get pressure-filled and drama-filled, and all kinds of crap can go on when a relationship is in a set block of time. So summer love, vacation love, and hey, even maybe long-distance love.
Whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you want to call it. It has a very different flavor under that kind of condensed pressure, and I have to agree.
Thank you.
Sorry you were missing that, lovies. It was great.
Oh, thank you, see. We'd mentioned about the exposed skin.
Anyway, whatever. Okay. Anyway. Oh, my God. Are we rusty or what?
We're
just rusty tonight. That's okay. You guys can all just love us. Love us up anyway. So we do have, for the pickup thing, like we said, we've been talking a lot about picking up. So the Juice Box Girls quick pickup refresher. Number one, watch their body language. That's what we've been talking about so far tonight.
Number two, make eye contact, because as Julia was saying earlier, if you're looking down at the ground, nobody's going to notice you're alive.
That's right. And also listen and communicate. Like, really important that you pay attention and listen to what they're saying. And like some of the coaches have been saying over the last few shows, like, get creative about what they're looking at. Notice that they're staring at something in particular and talk to them about that. Or, you know, just pay attention and communicate in a fun kind of way or, like, whatever.
And number four, close the deal. You got to find out if they're into it. If they're not into it, you can't go anywhere. And what's the point of spending like an hour talking to a total stranger that you totally click with and then at the end walking away and kicking yourself because you didn't ask for their number?
So are you suggesting girls do this too, Caroline? Get the phone number? Or
I think it depends on the situation.
Give
In
the
general,
card.
I usually encourage the guys to do it, girls should lay it out there and make it easy for the guys to ask. But I think I'm a little bit old-fashioned that way where I like the guy.
And I think in the hetero world, this is what tends to work. Let the man make the moves. But we do have to give them an opening.
Yes, definitely.
And I think when it comes to the gay connections, it's just really who is going to be kind of the more aggressive, you know, the more masculine, I think the more kind of
top or bottom.
Top, yes, that's the word. Anyway, and then call. You actually have to use the phone numbers because I can't tell you how many cards I've given out in this lifetime of mine, and I've received maybe a quarter of the calls, not even, maybe an eighth of the people have called me. So you know what tends to work better with the pickup, close the deal things that I've done?
What?
I just tell them, look me up at Juicebox Radio, and it works every time. If I give them my my card, they don't. And I think that's because I've got all these credentials on there. It's like they're like, oh, my God, I can't measure up to this girl or something. I don't know, maybe because I give them that chase that sort of says something vague that's kind of like, try to find me, you know, be a sleuth, be bright, try to find me, you know, good luck with that. And I walk away because I don't care. And then those are the ones that always end up
stalking.
Actually stalking me.
That's what I thought you were going to say. On that note, I was just going to say, it works, though, because I think men are hunters. And
yeah,
I know
exactly.
Some of our dating coaches have talked about that, where you have to basically encourage them because it intrigues them and they want to chase after us.
That's right. The masculine is the hunter. So,
but the woman has to be open, smile, and do all the things that we're talking about, body language, eye contact, communicate, and just be really present. And I think that's all you can really do. And just hint that I had a really good time. And that's a nice opener where it's just like, okay, ask for my phone number now.
I want to share with the listeners your techniques, Caroline, because they're so funny. Oh, my God. Talk about body language. This girl saddles herself up to the person, and you can't even mistake for a moment that she's interested. So, really, she closes that deal very, very effectively. Anyway, now that you've managed to work the pickup, listeners, and you know that you're on the same page as the person, right? You've closed the deal. They're interested. You're interested. I think it's good to figure out a loose guide for having a summer fling. It's important. So, the Juice Box top 5 tips for a successful summer fling. Caroline, since you wrote this so beautifully.
Thank you, darling. Number 1, timeline. If you're going to set a time limit for a relationship, make sure you let your partner know. Because it's really important, like, hey, I'm only going to be in town for 2 weeks or 4 weeks. Or that, hey, I'm just not interested in anything else other than a little summer fun. So just being really open and honest about your expectations and listening to theirs and seeing if you can come up with something that just kind of works.
Or just that, you know, it's summer and you kind of want to keep your options open and everyone's having a really nice mix it up and there's festivals and you kind of want to, like, you know, keep dipping your stick in locations, different rivers. Anyway, okay. But that brings us to the safe sex conversation,
yes.
Which I'm going to say because being the sex educator, I need to tell you that having a time limit can intensify the heat. And you know, this is most likely a Mr. or Ms. Right now, not actually a Mr. or Ms. Right. So there's freedom in not holding out for love, which I think is very powerful and very true. And you might find that you're able to make sexual fantasies into realities because you're kind of just free-flowing and you're not really worried about what they think as much. You're not thinking about the future. You're just really swept away by the tides of passion, as Caroline so beautifully wrote there. But practicing safe sex, I think, especially if you know that it's only going to last 4 to 6 weeks because it's not advisable to stop using protection before 3 months have gone by, because that's how long it takes before, you know, you get HIV test. So that takes 3 months. And so if you're doing 4 to 6 weeks, there's no way that you're going to know that this person is a safe bet to stop using a condom. So, and you can get checked for STIs such as gonorrhea and chlamydia within 2 weeks. You usually know if you've gotten those ones. But honestly, you know, that the HIV is not in clear for 3 months. So it's up to you if you want to risk your life. Anyway, when you're
going back to the serial killer.
When you go over a test, like ask specifically for a throat test. Because if you do practice oral sex, you could have gonorrhea or chlamydia in your throat. I don't know if people know that, but we have to make sure you tell them. And you can use condoms. You can use dental dams or oral dams for oral genital play. So, yes, there's options out there. And you know what? You can make it fun. Like, I know some people that do a lot of sex party play, and they just have gloves and oral dams and condoms, and they basically have a barrier between them and whomever else they want to have sex with. There could be 10 people in the room, and they're having a good old time, and they're not worried about it, and everyone's still having fun. Like, it's not like it's not fun to have sex, like, with a condom. Come on.
And there's even
workshops. You're having sex, at least.
About that stuff. So if you need to learn and how to incorporate it, where you can put a condom on with your mouth.
Oh, Caroline, where can we do that?
There was a great workshop this weekend, actually, that I was at.
That you gave?
Yes.
Okay, I think you should be proud of the fact that you taught 5 people how to put condoms on with their mouth and made them do it several times until they got it right. I think that's brilliant. I wish I was there. I would have been choking on that banana myself. Anyway, okay.
I think you could have taught me a thing or two, Julia, because you're amazing. And you're a good educator.
Well, I certainly don't teach the kids in the schools how to put condoms on with the mouth, but...
That's a good thing.
I would love to, if I was allowed to.
Although
anyway,
safe sex is good.
Okay, so do consider what you would do if your so-called summer fling turned into a pregnancy thing as well. There's definitely, it's not just about STIs, you can get pregnant. You might not want to get heavy about things with the person, but it's important to think about consequences. And if you're someone who's not on some kind of
birth control.
Contraceptive control, you know, like IUD or the pill or whatever, there's a potential when you're using condoms and, you know, whatever, they may break, they... There's lots of potential things that could happen to get pregnant. Getting pregnant isn't that hard. People seem to think it's really hard to get pregnant. It is for some people, but not for a lot of people, especially if you're under 30. And so you've got to be careful.
Definitely. And remembering, right. Thinking about number three, summer
so
love.
That was our top five tips to the summer fling.
Oh, that was...
Right, okay.
That's right.
Round three
and
now.
Number
thanks,
three.
Thanks. Just trying to stay organized.
And remind yourself not to get too emotionally involved with relationships. I'm not sure what that squeak was. Maybe it was...
I don't think they heard it on the air, honey.
Oh, good. Okay. The emotionally involved in relationships that have... let me start again. Just got to remind
yourself that it's summer love.
Yes. And just you don't need to get as emotionally involved in relationships, because a time limit tends to intensify regular relationships since there's no end label on it. And remember, there is no such thing as casual sex. With sex comes the cuddle hormone oxytocin, which may make you feel that Mr. Right Now is Mr. Right.
Or Ms. Right, or Ms. Right Now. And again, I think this back to the casual sex conversation, there is no such thing as casual sex.
No.
And we talked about this on the Young People Fucking podcast. You can listen to that if you need to know what we're talking about. And it's true. So we're talking about these summer flings, but just to remind yourself to keep that emotional distance. I mean, even though it's still, you're getting connected to the person emotionally when you have sex with them, there's kind of impossible not to have that happen in some capacity. You know, I think men are a little bit easier at keeping their heart space, disconnected, especially for females. I think it's really hard to keep our hearts disconnected from that. So, so just remind yourself, don't see them too often, perhaps, you know, try to mix it up. Have one lover and then maybe have another one and now go back to the other one.
Like, or have three at a time.
Three at a time.
Just be open and honest with everybody that...
Yes, be an ethical slut.
Yes, just that you're open and ready for an intense relationship if it happens, but you want to keep your options open.
Right. And
which
number
goes
four
into negotiation.
Is negotiation. So I think we kind of mentioned this in the first one about making sure they know that you have a timeline. But give yourself an out in case you want to renegotiate a new timeline, because if it's like a new one. And I think, can you speak to that a little bit more, what you mean by that, Caroline?
Well, in terms of renegotiating a timeline, it may be at the end of the summer you may find out that you...
You actually like them.
Yeah, and you want to take it a little deeper. So with that, because you've gotten to know them quite a bit and you want to explore a bit more, it may be turned into a long-distance thing, which we'll talk about in future shows a little bit more in depth. Or it could turn into...
Long-distance sucks.
Yes, that too.
And it's totally unrealistic. and it sucks. Oh, did I say that already? Okay.
I think that was your outside voice.
Okay, sorry.
But what I was going to say is I honestly think in terms of having time limits, perhaps a lot of marriages would be a lot healthier.
What's this time limit thing on a marriage? What?
That I think with a marriage, basically, if you think of once a year where you reevaluate your relationship, but with that, you have your meetings every month where you actually discuss things and see what's going on. So it's kind of like having board meetings in comparison to having your annual general meeting once a year.
Okay, we had a big debate in the car, and now you're telling me that it's a year. Okay. She was like, every 3 months when you're married, you need to negotiate whether you're going to be together or not.
Well, negotiate everything, because little things would end up being big things if you don't deal with them right away.
That's true.
And you have to pick your battles and which ones are important and which
Very
ones
much.
Aren't.
Yeah.
So why it's nice to have a comfortable... It's kind of like having house meetings when you have roommates, just making sure things are comfortable. And I think in short-term relationships, negotiation's important. All the way through, just being really, really comfortable, and especially towards the end, if it turns out it's going to be something special. Think about it, even though realistically it doesn't always happen, especially if it's long distance.
I think being open and negotiating what matters to you in every moment is really important. And, asking for what you want, whether it's in bed or out of bed. You have to make sure that that's, very clearly communicated, because I have some friends who give some examples of their, like, dating and, the person's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, within, like, a few weeks, and they're like, I don't want to hear that before 3 months have gone by. And, you know, so they kind of lay down this law of like, look, I, you know, even if my love for you grows and grows and grows, I think, you know, before X number of months, I don't want us to be sharing those very special, very potent and very powerful words that come with a lot of responsibility. You know, like other people throw I love yous around like they're going out of style. And for other people, I love you means a lot. And there's a lot of responsibility behind that. And it means that you're going to be together forever. I mean, who knows what your opinion or your meaning that you put on love is. So being open and honest and negotiating over time about everything, whatever it might be, is really important. And, you know, even if it's a short-term fling, you got to make sure your needs are being met. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and their time. So,
and I like how you talked about that love means different things to different people.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of, in terms of what is the word, boyfriend, girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
Seeing each other.
Commitments.
It means different things to different people.
That's right.
And so it's really, really, really important to mm-hmm. actually talk about it to make sure when you're negotiating that each person's understanding, even though if you're using the word girlfriend, what does that mean?
Right.
Does that mean that we're having sex 24/7? And
does that mean you're the only lover I have? Does that mean I'm not allowed to go on dates even with other people or kiss them? Like, when I introduce you, how do I introduce you? You know, these kind of things are important to talk about. Summer loving or not, or more long term, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our fifth tip, I think, how to say goodbye.
And just being open, honest,
if
and
it's
really
gonna
respectful.
End at the end of the summer, how do you do it? You got to be honest. You got to be respectful.
And I think you need to, if it's going to turn into something more, that's when you got to think about how it's going to affect your life. Because sometimes you pour everything into it because you know it's only going to last for 4 weeks. So you spend every waking moment with them. But when reality, it's like you've got a life, you work 9 to 5, you've got your hobbies, you've got your friends and things. And how does that fit into your life, your value systems? Mm. Does that actually match up, or was it just a lustful, wonderful adventure? And really sizing that up. And if it was, maybe you might want to make it an annual thing, like where once a year you guys get together and, you know, as long as neither of you guys, and you become basically fuck buddies, where once a year you spend 4 weeks together on that vacation and it's this wonderful, magical time. As long as neither of you are involved, or you can take it to the next level. But it's really important. And if you do decide to say goodbye, try to be really open and honest and really, really, really good with them. And just make it nice, because it's not going to last forever.
The summer flings you're talking about,
yes.
Right? I just have a hard time with this whole casual sex summer fling thing. I think I've been fighting you tooth and nail the entire show. So carry on, Caroline, about it.
Well, one of the things that summer brings out in Vancouver, because we love being outside, as we all know, we get a lot of rain all through the year. So it's mm-hmm. really, really important at this time of year to get outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few, we pulled a couple different people and asked in terms of places to have sex, what were the best places to fuck in Vancouver? And the top three.
What about all of our international listeners? They don't care.
Well, you know what? Vancouver's one of the best places to visit.
It is. In the Vancouver, in the summer, it's the best city in the entire world.
And
I've talked to so many people that have traveled here, and they're like, there's no better city in the summer than Vancouver.
And they were just talking about that in terms of that.
Very little bugs.
And it's becoming very more popular with the lesbian communities around the world, actually, that they're looking at it as a wonderful destination because we're pretty open, we're accepting and very comfortable. And we've got a wonderful gay culture here.
Yeah, totally.
And just very open and accepting. And that's really good. It's not like a lot of other cities. So, places to have sex. Number one, I think, speaking of gay community, is...
Stanley Park.
Yes. For hetero and gay, Wreck Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And
you said Jericho now. Have you had some time? Have you done it in the Plains of Abraham? Up above Jericho?
I don't know what the Plains of Abraham are, so.
You don't
no.
remember when we were kids going to campfires up there when the cops can't see you because it's kind of up in the clearing and.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah. We still have all kinds
getting grounded,
parties.
Remember?
You were never allowed to do anything fun, including stay over at my house because I was nothing but trouble. I know.
Can you imagine what kind of trouble we would have gotten in if I was staying at your place as a kid?
Elizabeth, my best friend across the street, couldn't even stay at my house. And she was like right across the street.
Oh, wow.
So we were just a lot of fun. Our family, we were just party, party, party. And I think, you know, multiple camping spots around in Vancouver too, like just in the Lower Mainland. We have so many amazing outdoor areas. Like you could just go up the mountain a little bit into the bush and have sex there. There might be a little bit more bugs up there, but we'll talk about how to deal with that after the break, right? We're going to talk about how to deal with sex in the genitals and I mean sex and the genitals. I mean sand and the genitals. And
that puts
God, I'm
genital
rusty.
Friction on a completely other plane.
We're talking. Yes, we're not talking French tickler here. We're talking dangerous.
We're going to talk about the juice box tips in terms of how to have the best sex outdoors. Blissful
outdoor sex coming up after the break for sure. So keep that dial locked, and we welcome your calls during this time especially. So call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
That was nothing. Sure, nothing so good,
come
right?
Come on, Danny. You got no drawers, right?
Yeah. Come on. Tell us about that girl.
What'd you do this summer, Sandy?
Oh, I spent most of it at the beach. I met a boy there.
All your cookies all the way to the beach for some guy?
Well, he was sort of special.
There ain't no such thing.
It was really romantic.
Come on.
You don't want to hear all the horny details.
Are you kidding me?
All right, tell you.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to other summer nights. Told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love vow.
Wonder what she's doing now. Summer dreams ripped at seams.
LiveMusicVancouver.com is the Lower Mainland's comprehensive source for live music listings. We've got more than 350 shows listed at any time, and our listings are updated continuously by hundreds of the very people who put on the shows you love. Artist information and MP3s are accessible right from the listings, as are maps and calendars for virtually every venue in the city. All this and tons more totally free at LiveMusicVancouver.com.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back, and I'm sadly disappointed, even though I love Juice Box. I was excited about the concept of singing karaoke Summer Lovin' to all you listeners out there.
I agreed to sing Summer Lovin' from Grease because I did see the movie 15 times when I was young. I seriously did. And I know the song off by heart, but I just thought you were talking about singing it at karaoke, not on the air, and I'm not doing a cappella on the air. Forget about it.
No. They've got karaoke with the lyrics. I could have pulled it up on YouTube.
Okay, never mind. We're not going to succumb our... whatever. What's the word? I can't think of the word.
Succumb to our desires.
Our listeners are not going to be struggling and suffering through us doing that, okay? We could do our own special podcast if people want to listen to us singing.
Yes, we could, actually. We'll have to get people to send in requests, which on that note, I just wanted to make a really short note, which when I was a kid, do you remember about Nicolas Cage in Valley Girl and how I used to always have, there's two types of guys. There was the Nick Cages, which are the ones I could fall in love with, and there are the John Travoltas, which are the ones I just wanted to sleep with.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to know if you remembered that. I always put men into categories where you'd ask
which
one.
Whatever. Okay, I used to love Valley. I used to talk Valley Girl. I was so annoying. I was really good at the Valley Girl speak. Okay.
Totally, for sure.
They're like, gag me with a wheelbarrow. We said... this is the Julia and Caroline show. This is really bad.
It is. So on that note, let's talk about some juice berries.
Oh, my God. So we're going to be talking, actually, the second half of the show is going to be about how to have really blissful outdoor sex, how to deal with the sand and the bugs and everything else and the sticks and stones.
And your checklist for outdoor sex.
And we're going to talk about that. But first, we have to do juice berries. And I think that Caroline created a very nice, big, long juice berry here. So go.
Who said Vancouver is in a no-fun city obviously hasn't heard of the topless march to the beach. It's legal in Vancouver for women to be topless.
In Canada.
Yes, actually, is it?
Yes, all over Canada.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. And in this kind of heat, who doesn't want to be? For us women, even if it's a choice, it's a choice that most women won't make because only topless women walking down the streets.
Topless woman walking down the street is intimidating.
There are leery stares and people giving you a look like you're doing something wrong. So I say let's do it together. Mm-hmm. This isn't for any great cause other than we have the right to go topless and it's natural and I took this off Facebook.
Oh.
So let's show the city that ignore your rights and they go away.
It's kind of true because there was only one woman that I saw at this past festival of like 20,000 people at Jericho. The folk festival, there was only one woman I saw topless. And I remember when the law changed to women being allowed to be topless in public. I must have been 5 or 6 years ago. I can't remember when it was. But I remember there was a lot of women topless that year. And at Folk Fest, there was tons of women were topless. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. You know, like, again, if you ignore your rights, they do go away. So meet at the Vancouver Art Gallery at 1 o'clock, and we can all get topless girls and walk down Robson and up Demon to English Bay. That's Sunday, August 10th, Topless March for Women Because We Can. So I think I might get my titties out there.
Really? I think I may too.
Why not? I think it sounds fun. We got nice breasts. You might as well show them off.
That's true.
For the right to show them off whenever we want to.
Exactly.
So 1 o'clock at the Vancouver Art Gallery if you're in town Sunday, August 10th. Be there. Okay, so...
According to a study commissioned by Trojan Condoms, nature gets us hot and bothered. Are you laughing at me?
Because I know, it's awesome. I'm a mess tonight. I'm a mess. I've had a really hard day. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, sweetheart. You were doing it beautifully, and I just interrupted you.
I'm just getting a complex here, darling. But women in particular say the great outdoors gets them frisky, with 75% saying they've had sex in a tent compared
women to... Women like to have sex outside.
In tents.
More than men.
In tents, compared to 65% of men.
So, percentage more. It's fabulous.
It is good. Canadian women, we
aren't shy when it comes to our needs. I think that's not true, but Trojan apparently says it is. With 94% of women telling Trojan Condoms in a recent survey that they were concerned with their own pleasure when having sex. Great. That's really coming far, girls. Sherry Fodor, she's the marketing manager for Trojan. She added, a change in scenery can heighten the sexual thrill. I think that's true for anyone. I mean, come on. And because you might get caught. There's a huge thing with getting caught and the arousal. And so, you know, come on, let's just put this together, Trojan. The National Survey of Adults aged 18 to 34 found that those living in Atlantic Canada had the highest rates of tent sex at 80%, closely followed by the Quebecers. I'm so surprised to hear this. At 78%, Ontario, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba residents lag behind at only 67% in the tent, although there's so many bugs, like it's just nasty. And Albertans had the lowest rate at 65%. Why do you think that is, Alberta? If anyone from Alberta is listening, call in at 604-822-2487 and tell us why you think Alberta is the lowest province in Canada to have tent sex.
I find it interesting that they didn't mention what our percentage was in BC.
I just noticed that we're just, because we have so much.
I thought
we're the highest. That's weird. Atlantic Canada, this is, you know what, maybe we cut something off, honey. Who knows? Anyway, Vancouver, they do talk about Vancouver being abundant in lush green space. Was this you talking about that?
I wrote about it.
Honey, okay, you've got to help me out here. This is the worst show.
Juliet, okay. Just that maybe the reason why I was thinking is why they didn't mention us is because we don't need to go camping to have sex necessarily. It's good too, but we have tons of lush green space, beaches and mountaintops. There's so many places to fuck outside. So maybe that's the reason our stats aren't on that list, because we don't even need to leave town to have sex outdoors. But when you are having sex outdoors, you got to be careful. In Vancouver, you got to be aware of the park rules and regulations. For example, in Queen Elizabeth Park, there's no sex after 10 or 11 o'clock in the park. Actually, you're not really allowed in there, but sex is a definite no, even in a parked car. A girlfriend of ours actually was caught having sex in the car, where they actually knocked on the door, asked her to step out. They actually thought she was a prostitute.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So sex is a definite no after 11 in any parks.
Yes.
Even if you're in a parked car, don't even try it. Mm-hmm. The cops will come and bust your ass.
Which may not be a bad thing, but...
If you're into the...
Getting caught.
The...
or the uniform.
The uniform. I do have a thing for uniforms, but certainly not cop uniforms. Anyway, the policemen, I mean, the firemen like to wave at me, which I really get excited about.
I like that, if you had a fireman there and you were going to do the dirty deed, I think we need a checklist. What would you bring, whether it's a fireman
or not? If you're
going
to do the dirty deed, there's definitely a juice box checklist for outdoor sex. For sure, highly recommend you bring water. Not just to drink to rehydrate yourself, but because men start drooling a lot when they get aroused. And women's vulvas and vaginas start to sweat quite a bit and get wet, so we actually get very dehydrated. But we also need to wash our bits if there's things on them, like, you know, sand.
Like sand.
Wet wipes are very good because, you know, schmegma levels go up in the summer because it's hot and you're schmegma-y.
And also getting rid of sand.
And sand. And then condoms, of course. And lube. If you're going to use condoms, bring lube. Always bring lube. And Kleenex, you know, to wipe up the mess. Hopefully that you're going to make.
And a plastic garbage bag for your mess to clean up.
Towels would be nice. Towels are much better than Kleenex. But if you don't have a towel, you don't have lugging a towel around. You look like a freak because you're, like, packing all this stuff with you and you're, like, on this one first date summer fling and you bring out your little kit. Anyway, and the plastic bag, of course. Please do pick up your junk that you make a mess of, because nobody likes to have garbage around, especially not condoms.
Oh.
So according to Tanya Enberg, writer for the Metro News, which is one of my least favorite newspapers in Vancouver, says tips for blissful sex outdoors. Don't forget your safe sex practices while away. According to Stats Canada, 18 to 34-year-olds have the highest incident rate of STDs, and 1 in 6 will have an STD by age 25. 1 in 6, that's pretty high. And they, of course, Metro News doesn't do their research because they're still using the word STD. But anyway, it is true. Stats Canada does say that.
Consider ditching the tent to enjoy some languid beachside lovemaking. Privacy might be easier to find once the sun goes down,
yes,
but I recommend relocating to a secluded area for hot daytime encounter.
I think the daytime is much more fun.
I agree.
Yeah, because this is what the Blissful Sex Outdoor recommends. But Juice Box says you can still have sex in a blanket at Jericho Beach discreetly. Can you give us an example, please, Caroline?
You just wrap yourself up like you just get one of those little tent things,
mm-hmm,
and you set up the tent and you go inside. And
you make a little tent fort like you did when you were a kid with the blanket?
Pretty much, yeah.
In the middle of the day?
Yes.
Okay, if you've been...
to be really quiet so you don't make a lot of noise.
And then the schluck, 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 I think that gives it away more than anything else. It's all the juice and the schlugga schlugga. Okay. If you've been at the beach all day, you might want to unpack your water from your juice box sex outdoor checklist and wash down before applying a condom, because Caroline says sand inside or outside the condom tends to get gritty and may cause chafing. And I said, well, actually, it might break the condom, more importantly. And if it doesn't break the condom, then it's definitely going to cause chafing of both the units involved, whether it's an anus, a penis, a vagina. Everyone's going to be in pain.
Miss Sex Educator, I want to ask you, what is your take on sex and water, having sex in the ocean with a condom?
Ooh. This ocean of ours is very dirty. We're killing her. But anyway, water washes away all kinds of things, and it doesn't work that great with the condom. If you can get a condom on under the water, I congratulate you. I think you should come out of the water first, put the condom on, and then good luck. Hopefully you have a very juicy partner. But it can be very painful and very, like, sticky to try to have sex in the water, because it washes all the lubricant away. And unless you're a highly lubricated person, and then you kind of do something tantric, like put the unit inside the hole that you're going to be entering and stay there and kind of do some tantric kind of body wiggling around and not too much in and out, so that you actually don't break the condom with the water and the friction that's going to be involved with the water.
That's a good point. I was thinking basically if they just clench their Kegel muscles a lot, the PC muscles at the top, and just basically trying to stay afloat, because basically you're pretty much having sex standing up except in water.
Yeah.
So it's...
that could be fun. Actually, that's a really good idea for rec too, because lots of people want to have sex, and if you just get into it, but then the shrinkage
that's
with
what
the
I was
men. All right. Anyway, so this article says, tips for blissful sex outdoors. If you can beat the blood-hungry mosquitoes, sex in the woods can be quite titillating. Find a relatively remote location and be sure to bring a blanket along to help you make your sizzling backcountry tryst more pleasurable. Little rocks and twigs jabbing into your back is not enjoyable.
And Juicebox adds, unless you're into pain, then perhaps a piece of flat driftwood might be used for a different type of fire.
Very cute, honey.
And air mattresses are great protection for your back, but missionary just may not be the best choice if your pain tolerance is low. That's okay. You know, you can do that when you're at home. Try something different. Try another position. This is a really great opportunity to explore. You know, go to a store like The Art of Loving or Women's Wear or Little Sisters. Go pick up a book.
Or Kiss, the Kiss store.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't been there yet.
Off Main. It's great.
Mm-hmm. To basically get out like a new copy, or an old copy of like Kama Sutra, and decide what position you want to try today.
Mm-hmm. Or three positions.
Depending where. Actually, that'd be great.
You know, if you do more than three positions, it starts to feel like a porno. I recommend, if you're an intercourse person, that, you know, it's fun to kind of mix it up for sure, but I think more than three in one session, or in 1 hour, let's say, or something, I think it just starts to get a little bit out of control. Anyway.
No, it's true.
We don't all have to be yogis and gymnasts and every, you know, and porn stars. Like, we, you know, watch porn, and that's our biggest sex educator, really. So then the men think that they need to be these acrobatic, creative, constant, you know, penetrative gurus of some kind. Anyway, it's all about connection, really.
It really is.
Heart connection, eye connection, lubricant connection.
Regardless whether it's a 4-week relationship or whether it's 10 years, or 20 years, 50 years.
Cherish and honor your lovers.
Yes.
Cherish and honor your lovers. Okay.
On that note, let's go back to the mosquitoes.
Okay. So for the mosquito double check, Caroline wrote, if you're using a spray like vanilla scented off, make sure that you double check where you sprayed it before kissing any areas. And I thought, well, I wanted to add that there's a direct link to cancer in the lymph nodes. So please don't ever suck or touch or lick off, and try not to use it if you can avoid using kind of those kind of sprays and those things.
And you advise that it would probably be best to avoid having the genitals covered with that.
No, you don't go anywhere near your mucous membrane at all.
Okay.
Mouth or genitals, nose, eyes, ears, none of it. Like, you have to be very careful. It's very, very toxic, incredibly toxic.
Yeah.
And there's Mary Kay put out this fabulous collection of essential oils, and it smells like baby powder, and it works so amazing against mosquito bites. And it was just a skin moisturizer, an oil blend. And so Mary Kay suggests, I don't know what it's called. I'm sorry.
I think of the Avon one.
Avon.
Skin So Soft.
Skin So Soft.
I hate the way that stuff smells.
I don't like it either, but I'm just telling you that it's all natural and it works incredibly well. Bugs hate it. So anyway.
And then, you actually eat it, though?
Well, if you want to. I don't think you should. And then there's also essential oil things. You know, there's lots of beautiful essential oil blends that work and, you know, other things. So please don't buy the crap out there, everybody. Just stop buying the toxic crap that's killing our planet when there's essential oils and things that maybe will be a little less hard on our planet and on your lymph
nodes.
And this article talks about noise traveling. So be respectful of those around you if you're going to be having blissful sex outdoors by turning down the volume on those orgasmic squeals. And I think for those people that like to scream, you know, the screamer types, they're talking about trying to keep quiet can actually add to the intensity, which can be particularly enjoyable challenge for screamers and for people that are really loud in general, just to have to be absolutely silent. It can add to the intensity. It can make it a lot more fun.
I find it intense, but sometimes I've heard different people tell me that sometimes it suppresses the orgasm.
Yeah.
Because it's not a release.
Mm-hmm.
Because you basically start holding your breath because
yes.
you're trying not to yell. You're biting.
Right. You're suffocating yourself.
Pretty much, yes.
Your body starts to go in panic mode because you're suffocating, and then you stop having an orgasm. That's right. It's the potential for sure.
So some of the things we want to add to that, I want to add to that, is just to be aware of unwanted voyeurs. Wasn't the Zodiac Killer one of those? Places like Stanley Park or other areas known for cruising may not be the safest place to indulge. I've heard of so many gay bashings and things mm-hmm. like that. It's just not particularly safe, and for heterosexual as well. There's just a lot of things that happen sometimes when you're out and aware. So just being really, really careful, especially if it's a new partner mm-hmm. and it's vacation romance. Practice safety, everyone. Not just safe sex, but safety, just period. Let a friend know where you're going. Like, there's been times I've left messages for my guy best friend, Alan, or I've left messages for Julia, where it's like, hey, I'm going out with this guy. We're going here. I'll give them their address or their phone number or their email, just in case. Because I got just kind of wigged out in terms of anything happening.
I think a quick text message can make a huge difference.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's a great technology, even though they're thinking of charging us for every one of them now.
Oh,
damn those companies. They see what we're doing a lot of to try to avoid phone charges because we don't want to talk, and it's just easier to send a text, and now they're like going to charge us for the text. It's all about money these days, isn't it? So, and we did kind of mention cleaning up after yourself. I think, you know, take your condoms, your wrappers, the juice box, you know, top five
box.
Tips, sex, outdoor tip. Kit. We should start making these kits.
I was actually thinking that, Julie.
No,
we could I'm serious. We could market them. We could have them in a little juicy juice box where it actually looks like a little juice, where you could have the straw sticking out and you hold onto it like a straw, like it's a penis. Okay.
And inside's going to have like a condom. No, we can't do that. We'll be stealing those ideas from Maura Ingraham, who created that.
Oh, does she have that?
Yes, the Safer Sex Care Kits, she calls them.
Oh,
with a K,
okay.
K-A-R-E. I think you can still order them online. You can probably still get them in different sex shops.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's great. I was thinking if you actually pulled it open, it would have things like all the things we just discussed, but it would look like a juice box. Where
sounds
it
fun.
It kind of look like vagina-like on the inside.
We're giving away our ideas, so.
Oh, you're
okay.
Right.
So do take your condoms, your wrappers, your tissues with you. Leaving waste behind is unkind to the environment and your fellow campers and your fellow outdoor enthusiasts that don't want to be slipping on your wet banana condom.
Or sliding. And I love the fact you mentioned banana. Is it because we were using those for the blowjob
yes,
workshop?
Yes, sweetheart, that's why.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show.
Oh, it's over already? Honey, we've got 10 minutes. What do you...
Okay.
Yeah. We can't just get off the air. What? You can't get off that easy, honey.
Are you going to tie me up?
I might tie you up.
Really? How would you tie me up if you're going to tie me up?
You know what we should have done? We should have gotten some erotica and added the summer smut at the end of this crazy, trashy show we just did, which is full of great information, but not enough. Not enough. Yeah, I think a little bit of smut at the end of the show would have been good, a little dirty talk. But instead of doing that, I think we're going to just talk about breaking up, because some people might be doing the summer fling and thinking that they just want to, like, have a short-term recreational relationship. And other people might be very, like, into the person, and you have to end up breaking up with each other. And I think that, you have to... What did you say here? Places to fuck? Oh, yeah, okay. We'll get to that in a minute. So, ethical breaking up. I have to tell you, some of the top five juice box tips. Pick an appropriate place. I think the less public, the better. Because if somebody is ending a relationship with you, it can be very humbling. So I think, you know, you're going to have them be vulnerable. So choose an appropriate place. Choose the right time to do that. You know, like if it's the end of, if it's their birthday at the end of summer, maybe you might want to wait till after their birthday. Doing it in person. I know that, you know, we see this on Sex and the City. We see this on people breaking up by text message, by email, by Facebook. I mean, it's just terrible. It's one of the things I hate the most about Facebook is you see these little broken heart things and so-and-so is no longer in a relationship and oh my God. Anyway, don't break up like that. I mean, it's harsh, right? So do it in person. And honest, like, be honest, but be sensitive. I mean, no one likes to get dumped. So if you can think of other reasons beyond maybe what the truth is, which is that their penis is too small. Try to think that you're just not that into them, or that maybe they're really bad in bed or something, and you've tried to communicate with them, but nothing's worked. If there's such sensitive topics as this, I think maybe it's better to leave that work to be done by somebody else. So it is about being honest, but it's also about protecting egos. I mean, come on. You don't have to be like, you're the shittiest lover I've ever had, and I'm no longer going to see you. Like, you can be more sensitive and go like, you know what? It's not you, it's me. I'm giving terrible advice right now.
I think in terms of breakups, yes.
Just be take responsibility for yourself and just say, look, you know what? You know that book, I'm Just Not That Into You? That applies here.
And there's some great advice with this follow-up book.
Somebody help me.
Break up because it's broken.
Right.
And in terms of breakups, basically,
right,
I'll speak to this a little bit.
Save me.
No, it's in terms of with that, you want to be very respectful. And sometimes maybe you just don't give as much information. Be there to listen to them if they need to talk and they need to close. And it depends how long you've spent with them, too. If you've only gone out with them once or twice, mm-hmm. Most of the time, most people understand if you're not returning calls and things like that, you're just not that into them. And
you're just
trying to be polite. And you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Right.
And just if they ask, just be really, really upfront about that sort of thing. Mm. Even if it's a summer romance and you've kind of earmarked them, like, this is Mr. Thursday for me, where I'm going to have sex with him every Thursday. You know, and if it's not working, because as Julia said, sexually you weren't compatible.
Thank you. That's a much nicer way of putting it.
You can just say that you just didn't feel it. It was just
the energy's not there for you.
That's a lovely way to say that the sexual chemistry is not there.
Yeah, just something is just off. Anyway, okay, and I think keeping your emotions in check is really important. I mean, don't seem too happy about the breakup. You're going to come off as mean-spirited. Be kind, be caring, be considerate. And, you know, you can high-five your friends later.
And yet at the same time, you also don't want to come across as too sad either, because then you're giving them false hope. Like, be open and honest with them and just tell them that, the times that you've enjoyed together, and just being really honest about it if you can.
Yeah.
And if they do ask for feedback, try not to do it in that conversation if possible. Otherwise, it ends up being like a 4-hour breakup and it's draining for both of you, and it's really not worth it. And then that way you can say, you know, give yourself an out so you can leave, you're not stuck there for 4 hours. But, you know, and if they ask and you care about this person and you want to respect them, just tell them that you need some time to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then basically,
answer their calls.
I'd actually set up another meeting with them, but again, you have a timeline with it. And I'd actually write everything out. My mother used to make me do that if I had to tell somebody something really scary on the phone or something like that.
Do a script. Scripting some of it, yeah.
And then that way you have an idea of what you need to say. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in a delicate way because you've thought of it out very constructive criticism-wise.
Right.
And I think it's a healthier way to do it because there's no point totally destroying their ego.
That's what I was trying to communicate. And I think, you know, if you're the one being dumped, try not to react too much. I mean, save yourself. Just handle the information with care as much as you can and try to stay calm. And, you know, rejection's never easy. Nobody wants to be rejected. It always hurts. And you just have to handle it, you know, like a man, like a woman. Be strong and go cry on your friend's shoulder after. I also recommend if you're going to be dumping the person that you go to their house so that you can leave. Because if you invite them to your house and then you break up with them and they like are a bundle of tears and crying and you can't get them out of your apartment, no.
It depends on the situation.
I say, get the heck out of there if the tantrum starts escalating. And you can't do that if they're in your apartment, so you know, or your house. So you have to go to their house and talk to them about the fact that you don't want to see them anymore and then leave as quickly as you can. No?
No, I would.
Or
I,
somewhere, you know, public. Quiet, but very quiet. Yes. So it's not, you know, there's vulnerability like we talked about earlier and a few minutes ago.
But, yeah, I wouldn't do it at somebody's house if you had a sense that they might get violent or there was red flags. It's just safer because just for safety's sake, it's better to do it.
We're talking as if the person you're dating is a complete psycho. And, you know, you should know better than that. You shouldn't be with a psycho.
But you know what? Ted Bundy looked like a normal person, apparently, and was very charming to a lot of people. And he turned out to be a complete psycho.
I can think of a few people that I've dated in the last few years that have turned out to be complete psychos.
I don't talk about my personal life, so.
Okay, great. We don't talk about all of our friends. Anyway, so, yes, but I still think it's important that if you're going to be doing the breaking up, you don't have them at your apartment.
I agree with that. I'm just saying that you shouldn't do it at theirs. That's all. We sound like Cisco and Ebert.
You know what? We're fighting. This isn't good. This is just bad. This is a summer heat.
It is.
Okay, so...
I realize what that leads to. Makeup sex.
Which we can't do on the air because that's illegal and we'll get... Our show will be kicked off the air like the last sex show. Yes. Over 5 years ago. When Juicebox was just in a little twinkle in my eye. Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Oh, what about the sex outdoors? Sorry, Caroline. We have a few more minutes. Talk about sex outdoors. You have some suggestions?
That's all right. We can keep that for next week.
Three places?
What? I was just going to say we could talk about our top places, the Juice Box Girls.
Okay. Well, I think that the top place to have sex outdoors is camping. Personally, myself, I like to do it kind of in the clearings of the trees area. I don't necessarily recommend the beach because there's always going to be sand and that always hurts. And so I've never had a pleasant beach sex experience. Oh, except for one. But there was sand involved and there was, you know. So if you have a sleeping bag or something really thick on the sand, then maybe you'd be lucky to not get sand in your bits. But I think... We're talking bit sand sex, sandy bit sex, if you're going to do it on the beach. So I don't recommend the beach myself personally, but, you know, go for it if you want to. But I think, you know, just out in the forest somewhere, like by the river or like, you know, just up against a tree. Yeah. What about you?
In terms of in Vancouver, I'd say outside sex at Theater in the Stars in Stanley Park with that. So, because if you actually sit on their lap while the show's going on, you can actually have sex outside and nobody would know the better. It's just, you might want to recommend they wear the condom beforehand if it's not a long-term relationship.
It'll be really hard to get a condom on without anyone noticing.
You usually have quite a few layers on, actually, so you'd have to do it after intermission.
Wow.
So that would be...
This is an interesting story I've not heard.
I think that would be a nice one.
Anywhere at night, I think, really. I mean, except for after 11 in a park. Or in a park car. You know,
playground is great, but again, you have to be careful with the voyeurs.
Playgrounds are pretty open.
But
you know what? There's those little places that you know, the kind of towery parts that you can crawl up to. I've done it up there once. That was kind of fun.
I've done it hanging, actually, off of...
Whoa.
Off of the...
Miss pole dancer.
You know, those monkey bar things?
Oh,
I've actually held on there, and that's been really fun.
That would... And you wonder why your arms are completely destroyed the next day. But it was fun.
Well, you know, it's hard work being sexy and having sex sometimes, too.
It is hard work.
It can be very athletic.
It is very athletic. It can be, that's for sure. Not missionary style at home, but pounders.
Which, on that note, I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. We're going to be back next week with a fresh and lively, and hopefully less lively. It must be the fireworks, you know, Julie. I think
that's because I know no one's listening, and I just don't care.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. To our podcast.
Oh, that's right. We can always just not put them up. I might not put this one up. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, man. Anyway, stay tuned for Hans Kloss's...
Hans von Kloss.
I want to see his shoes.
Oh, it's... Well, you know what? If you need us for anything, you can get us at juiceboxradio.com.
Oh, I just had a shoegasm.
Okay, well, come back next week at 10 o'clock.
very, very sexy.
Oh, boy. CNTR just five. Oh!
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Right.